the only station you need for news, talk, and sports. WSJS Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, Burlington. Online at WSJS.com. The workday is done. Social media is heating up.
Ding, ding, boys. School's in session.
Welcome to Sports Talk with Personality. You riding with us?
Yes.
Great. Coming to argue?
That's a given. That's a given.
Even better.
Let's get the show going.
Clock out. Crank up.
People got the popcorn. Let's give them a show.
The drive starts now on WSJS.
Here we go on a Tuesday. Right here on WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. Yes, it is The Drive. I am Will Dalton. I'm also known as The WD as we come to you on Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, and it also happens to be Taco Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
That's right. So sit back. Relax. Get a margarita if that's what you're into. Eat a taco if that's what you're into. Nachos, ACP. Morgan, what are you going to have on Cinco de Mayo?
I think we're having tacos tonight.
Look at that. Taco Tuesday. You know what I'm having? A Canes dub. Let's talk about it. Three to two last night, an overtime win in Raleighwood. So the Hurricanes last night demonstrated that they can actually be off of their game, face a little bit of adversity, if you will, and still get the job done as they now lead this series 2-0 heading to Philly. For the first time in these playoffs, Canes got down. Faced a deficit. Two quick goals for the Flyers. And not only is this the first time in these playoffs that the Canes have trailed, they haven't trailed since April 7th. Yeah, it's wild to think about. I didn't know that until I looked it up. The Canes, despite getting down though last night, they battled back. And they actually were in a position to hit a game-winning goal late in the third, but it got blocked. The Flyers goalie, Dan Vladar, had 40 saves last night. He was on one. He was looking terrific. Overtime, though. High stakes. High intensity. High energy. Taylor Hall did this right here.
Walker in over the line. Got it for Hall. Hall, strong move coming in toward the net.
Just electric. Just electric over there. I've been at some of those games where it ends like that. There's just no better feeling than that, than once you get in that building. At the Lenny, as we call it. Not their best night, by the way, the Canes. Like, yeah, they faced a deficit, but you could face a deficit and it just be a back-and-forth battle of whoever's playing better. The Canes didn't have their best stuff. It's the first time that they've really not only faced a deficit, but they've experienced some adversity in, you know, in the bigger picture of this, in these playoffs. Rolled through the Senators, rolled through the Flyers in game one, and they had to answer some questions. There were people out in the hockey world, national talking heads, that wondered, all right, when the Canes actually get punched a little bit, what's that going to look like? What's that response going to look like? You saw it last night. Here was Taylor Hall after the game actually talking about the Hurricanes not having their best stuff.
You know, as you get older and you play this game a while, you got to figure out if you don't have your A game, like do you maybe have your B minus game or something close to that? So you find a way to contribute.
And he did. He was actually talking about himself there as well. He didn't feel like he had his best stuff either. The good thing here is, for the Canes, it forced them to find a way. And they passed the test yet again in terms of continuing. Because sometimes teams will get down like this for the first time in the playoffs or in a while. and they might panic a little bit. Not the Canes. They continue to play the game the right way. They stayed true to their game plan and what they do. You know, sometimes if you just skate through with no adversity, no pun intended there, when you finally get some, you might look like a deer in headlights. Canes were not that. Here was Rod Brind'Amour after the game speaking to the Canes battling back after being down 2-0.
So that was not ideal, but I actually liked the way we played for the rest of the first half of the game. Found a way to kind of get it close. I think that was the key, not to get it another one for them. And then, too many penalties. You know, that does this, kills your team, kills your momentum, kills everything. But you got to give the guys credit that did a great job there and then found a way to tie it up.
They did. Penalties were an issue last night. And luckily, it was kind of even in terms of the penalties. It was 8 to the Flyers, 7. So it wasn't like it was, Flyers didn't have a few penalties to the Canes, 8. It was even. But even with that, it causes the situation, the game flow to get a little choppy because you're constantly having to pause because of the penalties, guys going to the box. It doesn't allow you to get into a groove. And that can be a tough situation for a team. So the Hurricanes, they answered a lot of questions last night in terms of how they're going to respond in the face of adversity, and there will be more, which is probably going to lead to even more people, you know, the national talking heads that maybe had questions about the Canes. Not that their opinion really matters, but just to give you the context here, they're actually going to start believing that the Canes actually might be getting ready to hoist the Stanley Cup for the first time since 2006. 336-777-1600 is the number to call. The question I have is, did last night change how far you believe the Hurricanes can go? If you doubted and you were like, maybe they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals but no further, or get to the Stanley Cup and not win it, did last night change your mind? Or did it not change your mind? And you were like, yep, they did exactly what I thought they could do. 336-777-1600. That's one of our questions of the day. We're also asking you, how are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo? How are you doing it? I'll ask the question to Morgan Corson, our producer here. How are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to watch the Lakers cover the spread tonight.
That's right. Need some tacos.
And some tacos, yeah. I think we're having some ground beef tacos for dinner.
Love that.
Oh, yeah.
You ever had chicken tacos?
I have. I've had chicken fajitas. I haven't had chicken tacos.
Chicken fajitas are very good. Yeah. I'm a fan of their work. I think I'm going to get a marg. I think that's what we're going
to
do.
Proper way to celebrate.
Salt, not sugar, like a sane person. Going to our YouTube comments here. Little Dog writes in, let's go Canes. That's right. Rollywood. Jay Davis chimes in. WD, take Lakers spread tonight. 15.5. It hadn't moved. At OKC, 8:40 p.m. tip. You just stick around for Dalton's dollars later on, and I'll tell you if I'm going to take that spread or not. The biggest spread of being an underdog LeBron has faced in his career in the playoffs. Let's switch to the NFL. Let's talk some Shield. Let's do that. Because the Chiefs, they're about to be back in a major way this year after missing the playoffs. And as it's at this time that Morgan should be hitting the NFL drop. Yeah, there it is. I was wondering where it was. I was kind of sad I didn't hear it. It's like this energy drink I've got here just juices me up. That's what the NFL drop does. Chiefs, they're about to be back up. And it's kind of surprising that after missing the playoffs for the first time in over a decade, a lot of people are out on the Chiefs, are not really thinking about them as a possible contender in the AFC. You know, they've only been to 5 of the last 7 Super Bowls, but, you know, missing the playoffs one time in about 12 years or whatever, 11 or 12, whatever it is, out, see ya. Not me. And I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I'm just looking at this the way I think it is. First of all signs are pointing to Patrick Mahomes being back for week one. And don't just take it from me. Here was Andy Reid the other day talking about Patrick Mahomes and where he's at with his progress.
If he can do some things, phase two, remember, is there's no contact. There's no offense versus defense. So it's phase three that you get into that. And once you start the clock, then the clock's got to be rolling. So you just have to evaluate what you want to do there. But he's in a position where he can do everything, I think. So.
Yeah. And in an interview with SiriusXM NFL Radio, the Chiefs general manager, Brett Veach, said that Patrick is, quote, way ahead of schedule in his recovery. So he also made a joke that the bigger concern the team has right now is making sure that he's protected from himself and doesn't, like, overdo it with his practice and with his training to get back. Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes, he'll be back up week one. And I think he's going to be charged up and ready to go. Also, Kenneth Walker, again, such a massive addition to this team. I was curious about this. Did you know that the Chiefs have the longest active streak in the NFL of not having a 1,000-yard rusher on their team?
I did not know that.
8 years.
That really surprises me, though.
Because, I mean, Pacheco's good. Like, they've had some decent backs, but never, like, an elite back. Not since 2017 when Kareem Hunt ran for 1,327 yards. That's the last time the Chiefs had a over 1,000-yard rusher. So it's been a little while, and that's really not it. So Patrick Mahomes really has never had that before. You give him Kenneth Walker, the Super Bowl MVP. Now the Chiefs have a run game that's actually going to be respected, and that's pretty significant. That's another threat here. It's like, all right, say whatever you want about Travis Kelce having a down year. He's still a threat. Patrick Mahomes himself is a threat. And now you've got Kenneth Walker in the backfield. Good luck. They got options here. Also, I can't emphasize enough how much I love the addition of Mansoor Delane, drafting him out of LSU. Such a big deal. So when you look at a lot of the teams out of the AFC that people talk about that could, you know, get to the Super Bowl, your Broncos, your Bills, your Ravens, the Patriots to a degree, I even say the Bengals as well. You better have some room for the Chiefs, or else they're going to make their own room. They're going to create their own spot. But best believe that. Chiefs are about to be back up. Glad to have you in on a Tuesday. Doze up on a Tuesday. Desmond Johnson of Tobacco Road Sports Radio going to join us at 4:30. Going to talk Panthers post-draft, what he liked from that. Going to ask why he thinks Henry Vassar decided to go to the NBA draft, when he's would have made double the money and would have probably improved his draft stock under Michael Malone. I'd like to know his answer to that, because he does the podcast Believe in Heels Hoops with our guy B-Dot, who's going to join us tomorrow, and P.J. Hairston, former Tar Heel. We'll talk to him about that here in about 15 minutes.
You're on the Triad's only live sports talk show, The Drive. You ain't on my level. Can't you see I'm just too swagged out? We say what you're yelling at your radio.
Drive on Cinco de Mayo right here on WSJS. Desmond Johnson going to join us in just under 15 minutes from the Tobacco Road Sports Radio. But let's start here. Let's talk some college football. Because with NCAA tournament expansion last week from 68 to 76... it has led to a lot more attention being placed on the possibility of college football playoff expansion. And 24 teams seems to be a number that continues to be thrown out there quite a bit. I would not be a fan of that. Many of you would not be a fan of that. Many that played college football or cover it very closely would not be a fan of that. But Kevin Clark, who formerly of The Ringer, he actually went on the Paul Feinbaum show earlier today, and he was pretty fired up. He had this to say about the possibility of a 24-team playoff.
I think the college football should be run by people who like college football. And every decision, every idea I've seen, Paul, about playoff expansion seems like it's come from people who don't like college football, don't know why we like it, and it's really starting to tick me off. A 24-team playoff would be a disgrace. And I think that even now, I think 12 is too big. I thought 6 was the perfect playoff size if you wanted to stop there. But we know that they can't help themselves. I get that. So 12, and then if you have to, in a decade, go to 16. Fine. But the idea of 24, the idea I've seen floated of 32, I just think it's ludicrous.
Yeah. So we had a lot more that he said after that, but didn't want to play the full 2-minute clip for you. But he's not a fan of this at all. And that clip has sparked a little bit of reaction, like it sounds like Morgan wants to right here.
Yeah. One of the things that is getting tossed out with this is that the FCS, so it's the lower level of Division I football, has a 24-team tournament at the moment. The difference between FBS and FCS is that the FCS, the top 25 teams, are so much closer in level, like playing level, than the top 25 teams of the FBS. Think about, we saw James Madison.
We did.
Like that. Think about 24 of those teams where you have 4 or 5 James Madisons. It just dilutes the overall product.
Yeah, and then they get whacked by an Oregon or a Michigan.
Yeah, it's just not the same. I think 12 is probably the best number. They're going to expand because it's money. But I think 12 to 16 is the sweet spot for these playoffs.
I agree with that. There's, like I said, there's been some reaction to this clip. Like Albert Breer had this to say. He was like, I agree with Kevin. 12 is more than enough. It should be hard to get in. The regular season should matter. And that's where I come at. Like that's where I land on this, is the fact that I don't know that, like, March Madness, the NCAA tournament in basketball expanding from 68 to 76 really, like, dilutes and hurts the regular season that much. I think it definitely waters things down and expands the teams that are on the bubble to a degree. But I feel like college football is a much more regular season sport than college basketball is. I'm not saying college basketball regular season doesn't matter, because it does, but you and I both know that we live for Saturdays in the fall, where if an Alabama or if a Georgia loses to two of the right teams around that are around 500 or whatever it is, they're on the cut line for the playoff. If Notre Dame loses to their two best opponents on the calendar, they're not looking great. There's stakes to it, and that adds juice. And if you add if you make it 24 teams, it dilutes it. So you have that perspective, but then you have other people like Tim Brando who completely disagree with this stance. He feels that if you expand to 24, Saturdays are going to have even more games of importance, which I see where he's trying to come from, but I don't know about all that. I just don't. I think you need to keep it where it is. I think that's where you're going to keep the juice in the regular season, where a couple of losses, 2 or 3, depending on who it's against, and depending on where you're at in the rankings, like, your season's done. Like, that's exciting to me.
Yeah, I think there's other things that we could be focusing on to fix the tournament before we expand it and cause more problems.
I agree.
Like the first round buys being 2 or 3 weeks after the team had played. We've seen that. That hurts teams. Look at Texas Tech. last year. They were a fantastic team that just couldn't hold their momentum after not playing for 3 weeks.
And not only that, like, we just expanded a few years ago. Like, settle down, everybody. Like, let it simmer. Like, let's let this thing play out at 12 right now. But anyway, college football playoff expansion, that conversation is not going anywhere anytime soon. This is a conversation that's interesting. Oh, by the way, speaking of college football, do you know the next time we're going to see football on national TV is Carolina TCU in August in Dublin?
That's pretty cool.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hungry for some football. I was wondering, like, when's the first nationally televised game? Oh, Carolina TCU part two. Bill Belichick. Hopefully he comes out a little bit better on the right side of that one this time around. Kevin Durant, the Houston Rockets. So after the Lakers eliminated the Rockets from the playoffs, there's been quite a bit of discussion about what the future could hold for KD. There's actually apparently a stat out there somewhere that shows, like, the Rockets are plus a certain amount when KD's off the floor, and then plus a certain amount when he's on it, and it's actually the Rockets are better offensively slightly to a degree when he's not on the floor, which is interesting. I didn't know that. He's still a baller, though. Like, some people might hear that stat and get carried away. It's like, it's still Kevin Durant we're talking about here. But it makes you wonder. Do the Houston Rockets want to... Did you find something?
Yeah, I saw they're 4-0 this season without KD, scoring an average of 117 points a game.
Okay, well, I just... Houston, they might want to build around their young core and move KD to add to that, get some more assets. Or they might want to stick with Kevin Durant. I did not realize this was as much of a conversation as it is until the Rockets looked like they were going to get eliminated and then did. And now you got Ramona Shelburne out here of ESPN reporting that apparently KD's moodiness, you know, got tiresome to the younger players on the team. I don't know how much credence I give that. Yeah, KD can appear moody on social media. He's also just a hooper. He's a baller, and he's a troll. You know, he has that I don't give a bleep energy about him, which I really like. I appreciate that type of energy, just kind of doing your own thing, whatever. So I don't know how much oxygen I want to give that report or how much does that really matter.
Yeah, if I'm the Rockets, I would heavily consider trading KD.
Okay, where would you like to see him go?
Anywhere. If I'm like looking at the
Rockets, what a great option. Anywhere, just get him out of here.
No, really, like, if you can get a first,
Charlotte.
If you can get a first, or the Clippers would be great.
There whatsoever.
No, he's not going to go there. I think that Milwaukee's an interesting suit if they can keep Giannis.
See, I heard Chris Broussard bring that up yesterday. See, my TV stays on FS1 in the studio. It just does. Like, they're talking about the Lakers and the Thunder right now, and they have these graphics that they put in the bottom of the screen with the cute captions. This one says, "Weather the storm." It's not their best work. But he made the point, like, Milwaukee could make one last push or one last attempt with Giannis by packaging something together to get KD to join, which I don't know what you could give them.
You'd have to give at least one or two first. And I don't know if Milwaukee has that.
See, I don't either. Some other teams that have been thrown out there, the Miami Heat. That's somewhere Kevin Durant apparently wanted to go years ago. Just didn't work out. Maybe package together Tyler Hero and something else.
Pair him with Bam, that'd be a lethal team.
That's what people would say. Or Orlando Magic. They're trying to make a buzz. They're trying to make a splash here. Trade Paolo. Maybe. Package something together there.
What about Denver? A Jamal Murray for KD?
Denver's interesting. You could maybe package Jamal Murray with something to get KD, pair him with Jokic. I don't hate that idea. A reunion with the Warriors, anybody?
I'm not seeing that one happening.
No?
I don't think that ended too well.
You don't think the Warriors, like, you know what? Let's get him back in here. Let's get this thing going again.
I just think they're looking for something new.
Kevin Durant, Houston Rockets. What does the future hold?
Check this out.
We're on in 5.
We've got opinions hotter than your car seat right now. You're on The Drive.
We had to cue up some good music for Desmond Johnson now as we welcome him to the show. Dez, how we doing?
I like that, coming in a little Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Yeah. That's right up my alley, a little 90s hip-hop. Shout out to your producer. That was well done. Chef's kiss.
Yeah, we just had to do it, man. We do it in style. We're going to talk some Panthers. We're going to talk some Carolina basketball. But I did want to ask you this because, you know, the NBA playoffs are going on, and I'm sure you're watching that closely. And we were discussing Kevin Durant. And maybe like what his future could look like in Houston. Is it going to be in Houston? Is it going to be somewhere else? What do you think the future should hold for Kevin Durant?
I mean, looking at his track record, odds are he won't be in Houston next year. He'll be someplace else. Easy Money Sniper is living up to his Twitter handle. He's literally, I feel like, what's the line from the Batman movie? Play the hero long enough that you become the villain or something to that effect.
I think
that's what's happening to Kevin Durant right now, where he's stuck around so long and he's bounced around to so many different teams. He's become this like assassin for hire. Like I don't think of the word loyalty when I think of Kevin Durant.
No.
You start thinking about where could he go? He starts getting an itch. I went back to go look last year when he ended up getting traded to Houston. It was Houston, Miami, and there was another one. Can't remember. There was three teams he said he wanted to go to. It might have been the Knicks that he said he would go to. And right now, kind of thinking Miami's the one spot he hasn't been that would probably welcome him in, and putting him and Bam together. If they can keep Bam and Tyler Hero and bring in Durant somehow, that could be a big three that's enough in the Eastern Conference. It's really in flux right now with a lot of youth starting to take over the Eastern Conference. That could be a aged veteran team that can make some noise in the Eastern Conference next year. But to be honest, I haven't been a Kevin Durant fan since Oklahoma City Thunder days. I never respected when he went to Golden State. I don't really respect the two finals MVPs he got off of Steph Curry's back, in my opinion. I don't think he would have a ring if he hadn't gone to Golden State. And then for him to kind of just leave the way he did,
because
of whatever happened to him and Draymond, that made me lose a lot of respect for him. And if you look at what he's done since he's left Golden State, I don't think he's been out of the second round in the East or the Western Conference. So, Kevin Durant's a weird case of, it's top 25 all-time player, but do you really respect it? And that's kind of where I'm at with him. So,
yeah, and I mean, when you look at all the places he's gone, like there was the Brooklyn thing with Kyrie, James Harden joined that for a brief time, Phoenix, Houston now.
He's looking for a shortcut.
And he didn't even play in this series.
That's the thing that bothers me the most about what we're watching right now. We're watching this generation of stars that's been here for like the past 15 years. We're seeing them cycle out, like the Chris Pauls, LeBron's on his last wing, Durant, Steph's 37. And in my lifetime, last I remember, it was like 2003 when the stars of the 90s were starting to cycle out. So like you had Patrick Ewing in Seattle, or Hakeem Olajuwon was in Toronto. You know, like this, they were just randomly at the end of their careers being spots. And we're going through that right now. The problem is everyone's more healthier in their late 30s than they were in the 90s, because they didn't get beat up as much throughout their careers playing NBA ball. So now you're seeing guys go to 39, 40 years old playing in the NBA. And how old is Durant? Durant is 36.
He's getting close to that 40 number. He's 37.
37, but keep in mind, he kind of has a year of tread that's not on those tires because he missed a year due to injury. So, and he's basically a jump shooter at this point. He can still get you 25, 26 pretty easily. But in terms of where to put him, he's in that weird spot where if you trade him, the team that has him is going to demand so much back. Durant's going to a team that's going to be similar to the team he's leaving. And that's kind of what's happened with Phoenix and Houston, where if he just stayed in Phoenix and let them build, who knows? They might have been the next Houston, but Houston was like the 2 seed last year without Durant. So I don't know. I think he's just kind of, LeBron is shepherding this kind of party with your, well, get the best team around you. Kind of don't worry about 6 years of struggle, let's get it now type vibes. And that isn't really the NBA anymore. That was like a little stretch. And that's kind of died out. And there's these stars are still chasing it, so you're seeing them bouncing around.
Desmond Johnson, Tobacco Road Sports Radio, joining us here on WSJS. Let's get to the Carolina Panthers real quick, because they had a really good draft, another really good draft. Back-to-back years that they've gotten the A-plus from Pro Football Focus, however much stock you put into that. When you look at this draft for the Carolina Panthers, what's something that stands out to you? Like, what was the one thing that stood out to you the most?
Honestly, probably either the Freeling pick at 19, because there was so much smoke about them possibly going for yet another wide receiver there.
Right.
That when they actually made the pick, it made the most sense. And when you look at the left and right tackles for Carolina, Taylor Moten's got, I think this is his next to last year on his contract, but he's 31. So he's the veteran in that room. We don't really know what's up with Ikem Ekwonu.
No.
Like they haven't really said anything.
Dan won't budge on it.
6 to 12 months. Like 6 to 12 months is a super long window. That kind of tells me we don't know if he's going to be back. So like if that's the case, and the fact that Freeland can play both left and right tackle, which they like with all those positions on the offensive line, you kind of solidify that for the future. It made perfect sense. They didn't lose any capital trading up for the guy. Dude, 6'7", 315. He's built for this. Like, I mean, he can be Bryce Young's blind side for the next decade, you know, if it works out that way. I think the thing for me that I'm noticing, I talked about this with Jonathan Stewart this morning when we were taping Believe in Panthers, the thing with Dan Morgan, when you see drafts usually in the NFL, the first and second round are guys where you're like, okay, at least first round, you're looking for a starter. The second round, you're hoping to get a starter, or at least someone that can contribute. Then from third round on, it's like depth, backup guys, special teams, stuff to kind of fill out the roster. If you look at Dan Morgan's drafts the past 2 years, and get deep into him, like fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, he's picking guys I expect to play. Like he's literally, there's like Lathan Ransom last year, fifth round pick at safety. Got a lot of playing time by the end of the year, and I expect him to grow even further now with them hiring Mike Adams to the staff. They announced that yesterday, I believe, former safety for the Panthers. He played here in 2017 and 18. And he came in through the Bill Walsh Fellowship thing they have for coaches to come, kind of like an internship. But to have these young safeties here, and you got the other kid that they drafted in the fifth round, the other safety, Zakai Wheatley. Just to get that kind of – that might be still the draft, honestly. And that was in the fifth round. Like, you might have got two starters at safety in back-to-back years in the fifth round of the NFL draft. Like, Dan is getting so much quality – at the back end, this starting center, Sam Hecht's probably going to be the starting center for this team. They got him in the fourth round or whatever. Like, didn't have to really do a whole lot to get him. Chris Brazel, the second, you get somebody to take the top off the back of the defense without having to move a whole lot of parts around. It's just masterclass. And then Dan, the one thing that he does that I love the most, when the draft is over, the past two seasons, he has brought in someone from undrafted free agency that has contributed to the roster as a whole. Coker 2 years ago, and he's literally wide receiver number two going into next year.
That's right.
This year, I think it's going to be this quarterback,
Haynes King.
Yeah, that they brought in from Georgia Tech. Did not realize until we started prepping for the show for Believe in Panthers this morning, Haynes King was the 2025 ACC Player of the Year. Georgia Tech was like undefeated for like 9-10 weeks of the season. Then. And he's built like Taysom Hill. Like, they already take out Bryce for like third and one, like short situations, stuff like that. Can you imagine they could figure out a way to use Haynes King in a Taysom Hill type role where you aren't running Bryce anyway? They were bringing Andy Dalton for it.
Yep.
So you bring this guy in, he's a gadget type guy. You run that same kind of RPO type system they do with Taysom Hill. And this offense just turns into something else completely. Like, I'm just excited for what they find after the draft, because he finds nuggets that nobody finds. And that's why the Panthers are in the position they're in right now.
Desmond Johnson, Tobacco Road Sports Radio, with us here on WSJS. Let's get to Carolina basketball, because that's a good start. Since we last had you on the show, the Heels did lose Henry Vessar to the NBA draft. And my question to you about this is, because, I mean, like, the highest I've seen him projected is late first round, And in that case, he would be getting like $2 million if that's where he went, as opposed to the $4 million I think that Carolina was offering him. Why do you think he opted to go to the draft now and not, you know, play a year with Malone, improve his draft stock? I mean, this is a really good draft class this year. He might even go higher next year, probably would have, and made more money to do it. Why do you think he made that decision?
You know, well, sometimes the simplest answer is the best answer. And I think he was just tired of school. My man is 24, I believe. He's about to get married. I think he has a kid on the way. And sometimes you're just tired of doing schoolwork. Like, you just don't want to do this anymore. Like, he's a grown man. Like, he's, you know, probably drinking a beer at halftime in the games and, you know, smoking cigarettes or whatever he was doing. I went to go look at the scale. And the last thing I saw from a mock from yesterday, they have him 28th going to the Denver Nuggets, which will actually be fantastic for Henry Vassar. He'd be playing behind Joker. And I looked at the rookie scale for this year. For this year, pick 28, year one, they made about $2.7 million. We don't have anything to know for sure, but we had heard rumors that Henry had asked for as much as $6 million in NIL money, which would have been almost a third of their entire NIL budget, which I don't think you should do in today's NIL world, but I'm sure there's going to be some teams out there to do it. Kentucky. So I don't really know if Carolina want to go down that route. We don't have like that Duke NIL Amazon money to play with to be able to pay for
it.
So, I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, plus something people don't talk about too. The sooner he gets into the NBA, the sooner his clock starts to get to his second contract. And if he's already 24, 25, he's kind of on that back end where he showed what he could do. A lot of the big men that are star big men came back to college basketball for next year. The kid from Michigan, the kid that was at Kansas that transferred to Louisville has like everyone like right now. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what they've been doing in the portal.
Oh, yeah.
What's the kid's name from Kansas? Started with a B.
Badunga.
They got him.
Yeah. They're nice.
Top big men didn't go out. So it kind of automatically pushed Henry up into the lottery where once they start doing like drills and stuff, and he starts performing for teams. Don't be surprised if Henry gets up towards the lottery, like around the 14th. I think the lottery starts at 15 now. Or 16. It's like half the league. So it's like if he gets up there, all bets are off, really. And now you're talking like, you know, $10 million, $9 million a year. And that's a different kind of bet altogether. He's betting on himself, which I can't be mad at all. And really the only people that are on this team next year that he played with this year is Jared Stevenson. So,
yeah.
I mean, what is he coming back to? So I understand why he's leaving. And if he wants to start a family and get married and do all this stuff now, get it while you can. The average NBA career is 3 years. So, you know, go get what you can and hone your craft. And hopefully you land it with a team in the late first round. So you're not considered, don't go like the Brooklyn, you know, or someplace where they're going to be like, hey, we need you to score 28 points every night. That's not Henry Vassar. But if you get him 12 points a night, a couple threes, right system, if he landed in Denver, that would be perfect for him. So, yeah, I understand why he left now that I've had, you know, 10 days to sit on it and stew.
Let me ask you this on the way out, and we appreciate you joining us. So now that Vassar is gone, who do you think the dude is on this Carolina team? Is it Terrence Brown, Matt Abel? Is it this Cyan Kaida, the 7-footer they're bringing in from FC Barcelona? Who do you think it is, or do they have one?
I know who I want it to be.
Okay.
It should be Jaren Stevenson. Like, that should be the guy. The story writes itself. He went to high school in Chapel Hill. Had to go away for a year. Alabama played because Carolina didn't really recruit him. He was the Gatorade North Carolina High School Basketball Player of the Year in 2024. That was like 2 years ago. Like, 5-star kid, goes to Alabama, helps beat UNC in the NCAA tournament with that game. He hit like 6 threes or something in the second half. Comes to Carolina on a transfer, literally playing down the street probably from his mom and dad's house, and decides to come back after a coaching change. Like, that, to me, that tells me he wanted to be a Tar Heel more and he wanted to play for Hubert Davis. Like, he's grown up wanting to be a Tar Heel. What better situation for Jaren Stevenson going into his junior year, I believe, where he's going to have basically the ability to be a functional, like a main focal point of the offense. He's 6'10". He can shoot threes. He can get down. Well, we haven't really seen it, but I'm sure he can get down in the paint. Maybe we will this year. But Michael Malone's offense kind of is perimeter oriented and it goes through the bigs. So I would say Jaren Stevenson, he's the one, but Neo is the one that I'm thinking might be the guy that is our main scorer.
Virginia Tech transfer. Point.
Yeah, Neo Ardalis, I believe I said. I might not have nailed it. But Neo, a 6'9 wing, they'll probably get him in and out, down in the paint and out where he's comfortable. But I started thinking about today. He's the one where I'm like, okay, if I had to pick one guy that might be a surprise, like Henry Vassar was, it's probably going to be Neo. But I'm hoping Jaren Stevenson is the main leader of this team that they all follow.
And he will be a senior going into next year.
He's a senior. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah.
Desmond Johnson, Tobacco Road Sports Radio. Be sure to check him out. Check out the YouTube. Believe in Heels Hoop. Believe in Panthers. A lot of content to be had from our guy, Des. We appreciate the time as always, and we'll do it again here sometime soon.
All right, brother. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for everything you do.
You got it. There he goes, Desmond Johnson.
The Drive, the Triad's longest running live sports talk show.
Better drive it like you stole it.
Clock out, buckle up, and let the takes fly.
Back at it on a Tuesday drive, a Taco Tuesday drive on Cinco de Mayo.
It's back.
Yeah, LeBron James. I love that. Speaking of that LeBron James guy, I got a decision to make. Oh, by the way, Jay Davis on our YouTube comments here, because we were talking about Jaren Stevenson last segment, who's going to be a senior going into this coming year. He points out Jaren Stevenson will get a fifth year if they do pass that rule. Yeah, that's true. He would. So maybe he'll be around for a couple of years more. We'll see. Jay Davis also wants me to take the Lakers spread tonight, which is 15.5. LeBron being a 15.5 point dog, that's the biggest spread of his career in the playoffs. Let's decide what to do about it in Dalton's Dollars.
It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
I'll leave you in suspense on that Lakers pick for a few more minutes, Jay Davis. Let's start with Detroit. Fresh off of the 3-1 comeback against Orlando the other night. Cavs polished off the Raptors on the same night. I really like the way Detroit's playing. Believe it or not, I actually have Cleveland going to the conference finals. I really hope they prove me right on that. There's times in that Toronto series I wasn't feeling too great about it. But in Detroit tonight, 7-10 tip, I just think the Pistons at this particular moment in time are playing better than Cleveland. So I'm going to take that Detroit spread. I get it at minus 112 odds. Give me the Pistons spread.
Show me the money!
Yeah. Sticking with that game. Donovan Mitchell. I think the Pistons are going to lock him down tonight. I think they're going to put the clamps on him. I think he goes under 25.5 points.
Show me the money!
Love Detroit's defense. Cade Cunningham, Tobias Harris, they can score with the best of them, but don't forget about the defense either. Now we get to the Lakers. What to do? What to do? 15.5 is such a massive spread. Such a massive number. It's in OKC. I think I'll take the Thunder to cover that.
Show me the money!
I'm sorry, Jay Davis. I'm sorry, LeBron. I love LeBron James. He's my favorite basketball player. He's one of my favorite athletes. But in OKC, you know that building is going to be jumping. It's one of the best environments in the NBA. Might be the best environment in terms of just loud hypeness in the NBA. And we are not going to see Luka Doncic tonight. He's been ruled out. I think the Thunder cover that, and they pop the Lakers game one. I think so. And in the NHL, one game tonight. Wild, Avalanche, Colorado leads the series 1-0. Game two was on their ice, Colorado. I think I'm going to take the Wild puck line.
Show me the money!
I think that's what I'm going to do. I get that at plus 162 odds. So pretty good value. And it's a little bit of a gamble, but that is why they call it gambling after all. So we'll do that. So that's the card tonight. Not going to add any baseball to it. I thought about it. Nah. Focused on basketball. Focused on hockey when it comes to the money. So in recap, Detroit minus 3.5 against the Cavs. Game one of that series tonight. Donovan Mitchell under 25.5 points. Thunder do cover as 15.5 point favorites against the Lakers at home. And we're taking the Wild puck line against the Avalanche. I'm proud of that card. I'm proud of it. I don't care what anybody says. I took a little hiatus, and I feel good about my chances tonight. Jay Davis. That's a good sign you taking Thunder spread. Remember the last time I told you to take the Lakers? I took the Lakers, and then they lost. Thunders do not have Jalen Williams. We'll see what happens.
I like your Wild pick.
I do too, right? It's good. I don't know, just got a feeling about that. I know it's in Colorado, but, you know, I like the Wild. I like them to even that series tonight, even with the Avalanche being favored. It's a perfect bounce-back spot.
If the news of the world's greatest entertainer, the hardest working man in show business, ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Will Dalton is live, local, and locked in. You're on The Drive.
Every time I hear this, I think about that scene in The Sandlot where they come together on the bikes. You can't even lick the dirt off our cleats! It's my favorite sports movie, by the way. Just in case you didn't know that. You have something?
Oh. I haven't seen it in a hot minute.
Oh, I thought you were going to add something to that. Gosh, Morgan! He's just thinking about the tacos. That's the burritos.
I'm so hungry.
This guy gets so hungry. Like he comes in every day and he tells me what he had for lunch. Not, you know.
Two ham sandwiches.
He has some good stuff every once in a while. He gets very excited when he has his Little Caesars, too.
I love Little Caesars.
You should just get them to sponsor the racing segment at this point.
That's a good idea.
Free pizzas for Morgan? He wouldn't know what to do with himself. I do know what he knows to do right now, though, and that is to give us some interesting facts we didn't know we needed to know.
Things you want to know, you should know, but you don't know.
What?
Oh, my.
The game within the game.
What do you mean by that?
Let me give you an example.
Time for stuff you didn't know you needed to know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want in on the show. As somebody decided to call in right when Morgan was about to tell us some interesting things that we didn't know we needed to know, which is also why the music is extremely loud and hasn't come down yet because he can't hear it. Now he did.
All right.
Let's hop to it here. You got some good stuff.
All right. So golf was banned in England in 1457 because it was considered a distraction from the more serious pursuit of archery.
The nerve. How dare we interfere with archery? Have you ever shot a bow and arrow?
I have.
Was it difficult?
They didn't string it right, so they didn't. My string just fell off, okay. So it was a failure, yeah.
See, the only type of archery is I've ever done is on the Wii
Don't
Sports.
Say the Wii.
the Wii Sports.
Oh, no.
I was pretty good at it, too. I actually kind of want to go play it now.
Sticking with golf, the average golf ball has 336 dimples on it.
See, these are the things you need to know. You can literally take this knowledge with you to a bar and win a bet.
So we all know about the NFL Super Bowl rings, but did you know that refs get rings as well?
Do they really? Do they get like
not the same ones as the
players?
I was
going to say, it's like, what, do they get a Chiefs ring?
No, the NFL actually gives them a Super Bowl champion ref ring.
Let's see if I can find a picture of one.
It was pretty easy to find one. I just looked up ref ring.
That would be that's what you would do. Anyway.
Until 1936, a jump ball in basketball took place at center court after every single basket that was made.
So every time they like had to reset.
Literally a jump ball every time you made your layup or your hook shot.
So it's literally like a game of 21 or like one-on-one out on the yeah. street where you check up after every play, only the checking up is the tip-off.
Must have been electric, though.
Indeed. I would love to know how long these games took, though. But they probably had like a different amount of time that they played.
Why don't we do this for the All-Star game next year?
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
They need to do something.
Corybus of Elias, a Greek cook, baker, and athlete, nailed it.
Yeah.
Won the very first recorded Olympic Games in 776 BC. He won the Stadion, 192-meter, or if you're in America, 630-foot sprint, which was the only event in the inaugural Olympics.
And he was a chef.
Yeah.
Huh.
He made heroes.
A man of many talents.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Imagine that. It's like, hey, I'm a chef, but on the side, you know, the Olympics. Got a medal hanging up here.
No, we got the NHL playoffs.
We do.
The Canes are doing great. But you want to know what they're not using as a puck right now? Cow poop. Because in informal hockey in the 1800s, they often used frozen cow poop. They called them road apples.
Road apples?
Yeah.
Road apple. What does that even mean? What is the apple? Where does that come from?
I don't want to know. Our friends to the north, what are we doing?
I want to know the origins of why they called it a road apple.
Yeah, I didn't want to
There's
inquire.
The podcast title, Road Apples. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible. Lexus. The Toyota-owned luxury car brand actually stands for something. Luxury Exports to the United States. L-E-X-U-S.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. See, I just bought a car the other day, yesterday, and I got an Acura, but I was also looking at Lexus and Infiniti. And I did not know that Lexus actually stood for something. Now I want to know what Acura stands for. I don't think you have that one on hand, do you?
No.
By the way, there's a singing band from the 70s called the Road Apples. They're a Massachusetts-based quintet. So, there's another little nugget you didn't know you need to know.
Yeah, Acura is ACU, the beginning of it, is Latin, meaning done with precision or mechanical preciseness.
Oh. So I'm very precise out on the road.
Mechanically.
On the highways. Let's go to Dave and Clements. He wants in on Taco Tuesday. Dave, go right ahead. Is he already eating the tacos? There he is.
Hey, shout out to Lexus real quick. I drive one, man, and I always say once you go Lexus, you never go back, baby.
Love that.
But, yeah, I wanted in on some Taco Tuesday.
All right. What do you got? It's breaking up. Sounds like he's already eating the taco.
If I'm eating the taco, man, I got a couple major red flags, some things I want to get off my chest with it. First off, if you're making taco, that shell is so tiny, like trying to get your toppings into the shell is a nightmare. So you're loading your chicken, your beef, whatever into that taco, your cheese, like half the time the shell's already broken in half.
I agree.
So, and if you do happen to be able to get your toppings into the taco, once you take a bite of that taco, half the time it explodes, crumbles, you know, whatever you have, all over the place. So that's another beef with the taco. And my last beef with the taco is half the time you take one big bite of it, and you're like,
so I'm going to have Dave call us back because I can't hear a word he's saying. He has beef with tacos.
Does he have beef with beef tacos?
I don't know. signal was a little choppy there, so I want to make sure we have a clean call here. But I wonder if he meant it for the pun. I wonder if he intended for that.
Now, a question I've seen circulating social media is, do you turn the taco for you, or do you turn your head for the taco?
Come again?
It's like, you can. Some people tilt the taco and put it in their mouth, or do you tilt your head to put the taco in your mouth?
I've never thought about that one day in my life. I just eat it. I just eat it. I can't even. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. I really don't. We'll see if we can get Dave back on the line for when we come back after this break here.